to the Power Hour on Verb Moto.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Prepare to get annihilated with an awesome opportunity. Featuring your favorite motocross brand, Verb Moto. Win a grand prize of a Yamaha Wolverine R-Max 2 1000 Sport. Two 2024 Yamaha TTR 110E motorcycles. And $20,000 cash. But wait, there's more. There's also additional weekly prizes. New merch, pocket-breaking prizes, our pockets, definitely not your pockets. The more you buy, the more points you earn. We're stacking points, baby. Come get them. Visit shopverb.com for more or dial 1-800-VERB-MOTO. That's not a real number. Don't call us, please. No purchase necessary. Rules and regulations apply. See shopverb.com for official rules.
Hey, what's going on, you guys? It's your boy Brad here from Verb Moto, and this Power Hour is going to have a little bit of a different feel for it, because if you do know that my co-host regularly a little bit down and out today after four straight days at World Mini, the voice is shot, the man's eyes still have dust in him, he needs at least two or three showers and a half bottle of shampoo just to get himself back to a functioning human being that Zach Herron can truly be. Honestly, I've been really enjoying doing these podcasts with him, getting to know him a little bit better, and I think the chemistry is really starting to get, like, lather up, to kind of stay on the soap sort of topic there. But anyway, guys, I'm really enjoying these podcasts. I hope you guys are enjoying the podcast, and thank you guys so much for submitting your questions. We're going to get to more of them, later on. I think the next Power Hour we're going to do with Zach is actually next Monday, after this coming Supercross round. So, this podcast is going to be a complete takeover by my friends over at First Form. We got Sage, Matt, and Aaron right off the rip, and then JT and James from First Form wrapping things up for us, and this has been awesome. Honestly, all the sponsors that have been super helpful in getting these podcasts out and supporting the podcast, like Race Tech and Guts Racing, as well as Moto Coatings Company, those guys are amazing. Andrew Brooks over there, he does amazing work, and if you're doing a bike project that's getting some stuff torn down and you're looking for some coatings, I would definitely look into him. So, and same thing for Race Tech Suspension. Race Tech Suspension and Engines, I can't say this enough until I'm blue in the face, whether you're doing a KYB conversion kit with your KTM WP Air stuff, or you just need your bushings changed, your seals done, you need new oil, or if you're going to go with those patented amazing gold valves, Race Tech is the company to go with. Checker's over at Race Tech, fantastic guy, and it's a fantastic company. You guys are going to go check that out. So let's get to the podcast here, guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. Support these podcasts, continue to enjoy them, and yeah, let's get to it.
Welcome to another episode on the Verb Pod Network. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt, and this podcast is all dedicated towards the Gypsy 500 that's in the rearview mirror, but we got another one just coming up in about 6 months from now. You got lots of time to prepare for it. Like I said, I'm your host, Brad Gebhardt, but with me on the line, we have the boys from First Form, all of the athletes that put it all out on the line, lap after lap. It was absolutely incredible. Let's start things off with the first guy, like the guy who had started this whole thing off. I slid into his DMs, put a little bird in his ear that said, hey, you got to come out to this event. I think this is so up First Form's alley because it's all about fitness. It's all about fun. And it's about having that can-do attitude to make it all happen. Aaron Nigley, welcome to the show.
What's up, man? Thanks for having me on here for sure. This is awesome.
Dude, really looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to kind of dig a little deeper into this long road trip. And I do mean a long road trip because you guys dove headlong into what can only be described as an absolute ludicrous trip. But let's move on to another member on the podcast. That is none other than Matt Zamitra,
brother.
Mitra, come on, give me like that.
That one was going to
trip me up one way, shape, or form. But either way, what I wasn't tripped up by was your speed on a dirt bike, my friend. Like, I hats off to you. Like every lap, whether it was elbows down, elbows up, visor down, it was hammer down, and you were out there having fun.
Oh, it was nothing but a good time, and I definitely appreciate the invite and excited to dive into it and expose all the details of the trip. I think it was nothing but good times with good people and an overall just kick butt time. You know, it was really amazing as far as just the trip, and I'm just excited to dive into the details, you know, and really anything.
Must be an echo in here, man, because I feel the exactly same way. And last but not least, gotta introduce my guy, the man in the place with all the bass. He came here tonight to get on my case. It is the one, the only, Sage Voda. How's it going, my friend?
We've made it. This is official. This is the most official I think we've landed on. So we're excited to dive in. We're excited to talk a little horsepower, a little caffeine, and debrief with you. But thanks for having us on, man. This is awesome.
Mix gas, haul ass, and enjoy yourself some firstborn products along the way. Boys, this is what's one of the coolest things about like this event and Verb Moto kind of coming and colliding with First Form, because I first got turned on to First Form back in 2015 by my personal trainer, Mark Lavallee, who basically at that time had done a full body recomposition. He completely reset my body, taking me from 213 pounds down to 185 of Twisted Steel sex appeal, or at least my fiance says so. But the most biggest thing that I got out of that training with Mark was getting connected with First Form. And never did I even believe or imagine that there would be a group of not only one, not two, but three, not five people over at First Form who are into motocross. Even Andy Frisella himself, the big boss with the hot sauce over there, likes to spin a wheel every once in a while, probably not as much as he probably should. But let's be honest, it's encouraging to me to see a brand that has so much to offer the sport of motocross and just the athleticism side of it and the fitness and wellness side of it. But they're enthusiasts too. And that's a great thing. What do you think about that, Aaron?
Yeah. I am kind of hoping that we can get Andy out to one of these events sooner or later, to be honest. Just got to keep chugging away at him, keep bugging him. And, I don't know, maybe we'll get him out there and, see if we can spin a few laps or two.
He can fly straight into Greenville, South Carolina for the Gypsy, the 500, Why not? Like, I'm pretty sure. Well, it wouldn't be direct. We all know you'd be flying into Atlanta and then just do like a little hop, skip, and a jump over to Greenville. But that's off in the distance. But boys, it has been so interesting to see just the enthusiasm that you guys can bring to an event. You guys like really brought the noise as far as just having First Form immerse themselves into the community. You're serving up beverages. You're helping people. Like I talked to, and we're going to throw on JT Thompson as well as James Lynch a little bit later on, but they had mentioned that you guys were like, it was like trying to herd cats during the race. Like anybody else, every other team, they're sitting in their lawn chairs, they're getting their water in, they're chilling out. But you guys are just like meandering around, just finding out, the teams around you, how can we help? How can we help with recovery? Like, can I give you some information on this product? Like, I know you guys weren't on the clock, but holy crap, were you guys just spreading the word, man? It was pretty cool.
It was a ton of fun. Like, and looking at it, there's so much that has affected not only just the riding piece lately, but really like as we go through and we brainstorm day to day, it's like, what are the components that a lot of people might be missing or the opportunities that they might not know about, especially the things even on the go? Like, okay, you look at our extended road trip, but it's not out of the question if you're going to ride 2 hours, 3 hours, you know, stopping by the gas station, just being able to have a couple more tools. You know, how often do we throw different pieces on the bikes or different pieces of gear for ourselves? But you know, it's just like, it's a ton of fun to be able to go and walk somebody through like, hey, try this and here's what you should experience. And so popping around and immediately it's like, man, luckily some of the guys made it over to you guys across the way, you know, as we were hammering down laps and stuff, but we had a ton of fun. Yeah. I mean, we were definitely dead by the end, but I'm going to go through and have the conversations.
Maybe you were Sage, but Mr. Zemitra literally lives off of the energy drinks. In fact, I was told earlier that his blood type might be P1 energy. Like it's that way for Matt. And, dude, you brought the noise the entire time. Like the energy, the vibes were high, despite the fact that you guys didn't have somewhere to stay on Thursday night prior to the event. That was perhaps not the best planning, but hey, this is how we learn. This is how we adjust. And yeah, five dudes in one truck from St. Louis all the way to Mesquite, Nevada, and then five dudes in the same hotel room. Like, what can go wrong?
I don't think anything could go wrong. I think it was a game plan for success without really a plan. But all we knew, we were going to go to Mesquite, Nevada, have a good time, rip around with, like I said, some good people. And that's ultimately what happened. But from, you know, I have probably been told that, you know, First Form Energy runs through my veins probably a little bit too much, but I freaking love it, right? So, but the thing is,
it was your roommates that told on you. So,
dude, how long they would know. We counted by the time we got out of the state of Missouri. What was our Thursday total, Aaron? Do you remember?
Oh, it was like 26 or something.
The five of us that day to get it. It was right around 26.
And I mean, just a reminder, yeah, we drove straight through. We didn't stop in between. We drove straight through from St. Louis into, you know, Mesquite. So it took us 26 hours to get there.
Yeah, like my drive was broken up. Like I drove like 13 and then like 12 and then 8. And like I was in the vehicle longer than you guys, not to toot my own horn, but either way. But you guys, like, you left later and got home earlier. Like it was absolutely ludicrous. Hats off to you. And yeah, just kind of like, honestly, that in and of itself to me sort of speaks volumes to the lifestyle and the stick-to-itiveness of the First Form community is you guys, make no excuses. You go for it, tip to tail, back to front. And it's honestly a really impressive, inspiring thing. The fact that like I threw out this invite. Honestly, it was kind of late. It was like no more than 6 weeks prior to, but a full buy-in from all of you. Like Aaron, I think you were kind of the first that sort of like spearheaded wanting to go to this event, and knowing that you had a support staff around that not only were interested, but enthusiasts themselves, and didn't mind putting, probably likely thousands of dollars worth of damage onto your dirt bikes in the process.
Yeah. Thankfully we didn't have too much damage on the dirt bikes. But yeah, kind of going back to the beginning, I know we had exchanged a couple of DMs back and forth, but I'm pretty sure Sage is the one that kind of brought this event up. Correct me if I'm wrong, Sage, but he kind of brought this event up and was like, hey, like, what do you guys think? And, you know, looking at the details, it's in Mesquite, Nevada. We would need this. We would need this. We would need this. And it's kind of like, all right, that's kind of a tall ask, but I mean, the event sounds rad. So like, what do we need to do to make it happen? And then from there, it's kind of just like, you know, figure out what we need to do, make a game plan and start executing on what we need to do. And then, you know, we hop on the phone with you and then Brent, and then it's all good vibes and the rest is history from there.
Yeah, we've got the comped entries for the boys, because if you're going to drive that far, maybe save you a few bucks as far as the expenses on it. Although, there's probably an April visa bill that's coming in the mail that nobody wants to look at, possibly with like a 1,000-yard stare, but well, we're just gonna like ignore that. But honestly, I think like we always hand out those $20 gift cards and all the gate bags to everybody. I think for the Gypsy 500 races, they had to bump that up to like $100, because like there ain't nobody that showed up to that event that doesn't have at least $100 worth of maintenance to do on their dirt bike. And might as well do that at motosport.com, or maybe you call up Moto Coatings Company and get your stuff recoated or something along those lines. But let's get some particulars here. Aaron, you've been riding for a long period of time. You got some skills behind you got skills to pay the bills. Tell me about how you got into motocross and how long you've been at First Form, the impact that's had on your life.
Yeah, so I've only been at First Form for maybe like a year and a half. And my previous job, I was in the moto industry. So I have, cool, you know, some years under my belt being in the moto industry. But to be honest with you, kind of when I started at First Form, I really, the motocross and like anything in the motorsports industry was not, you know, on the radar at all. And then I quickly found out through another friend that Maddie was into motocross. And so, you know, from there, it's kind of just, you know, popping over and just start shooting the shit a little bit with Matt, figuring out what he used to do, what he does now. And come to find out, he didn't have a dirt bike at the time when I started. So I'm like, dude, I need to like bring you out to the track and you can just like ride my bike. Like, let's just have a good time. And so he was down.
That's so the motocross community. I literally told a guy this weekend, used to race, doesn't race anymore. I'm like, dude, I got too many bikes in the garage. Like, you have no excuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I'm all about that. I mean, if he didn't have a bike, so like I just knew he was into it and he was really invested into it. So I'm like, just come out and spin a few laps. Like, I don't really care. Like, what's the worst that happened? Like, nothing's, you know, you damaged a bike, like, we'll just fix it. But anyway, so got him out. He was excited after that. And then was able to get a bike soon after that. And then kind of same thing with Sage. Like, I didn't know Sage at all when I started. Kind of just another dude that's into moto, and I find out and kind of just start having conversations. And, you know, bring Sage out. I think we actually had Sage ride JT's bike. Is that right? Yeah. We had Sage ride JT's bike. And, again, from there, like, the rest is history. Like, Sage gets a bike and we're all like just traveling around riding dirt bikes now. So, yeah, super cool. And I'm excited to see where the future goes. I mean, we're literally just getting started with all this stuff. And, the Gypsy event was definitely, I would say, a kickoff to, what's to come. So I'm excited.
Oh yeah, no, that was just the appetizer that what eventually becomes the First Form Moto Instagram handle that I'll likely be maintaining. So let's go to Matt. Like, how did you end up getting basically sucked back into the motocross world? I often say this: the foot pegs are sharp because they bite into you and they don't let go. At least not for long. Even if you do stray away from the herd for a little bit. How'd you get back into it, aside from Aaron giving you a lot of shit about getting back into the riding? And how'd you end up with a ditch pickle, man? Why the Kawasaki?
Oh, man. I think...
why is it white?
Once you have... What? Man, I like white, you know? No, that's a story. But no, I think overall, once you have the itch, you know, for racing, once you get the taste of it, you know, as a young guy, young gal... If you're involved in the sport, you get to see the community, you kind of have it forever. And, you know, I grew up with my dad and racing dirt bikes when I was younger, from 12 to, I want to say, 20, until I really took on my professional racing career. And, you know, essentially, that whole time growing up was amazing, right? You know, you get to really experience the campouts and, you know, the community, the different racetracks, the different owners and people in the community, you know, following people online, your idols from, you know, Ricky to Stuart, you know, growing up in those ages, you know, and that's, you know, ultimately how I got into it, you know, to start, right? But then I took a hiatus for 8 years, per se, took on a professional, really racing career in the automotive performance industry. Yeah, which was awesome. I used to work on professional race cars and stuff at a couple
just
different...
Just found out you're not a good storyteller either. This is the first time hearing of it. Secret life of Mr. Zemeta here.
Yeah, so it was a good time, you know, and then went through a lot of things. Had a shop for a little bit in California, moved back to Massachusetts, really got involved with First Form at that time. I've been with First Form, or the brand, for about 4.5 years in total. And, you know, from the MFCEO project and following Andy, you know, when I had my shop, I literally Googled like how to run a business and
talked
about that, connected the dots. And long story short, you know, ended up moving across the country to work for 1P. And it's cool because the community here, the culture, I mean, what we stand for, the core values, the mission, you know, this is me personally, I really find it in that way of doing the right thing and involving myself with the right people, right? Sage and Aaron. And I remember Aaron came over to my desk, and I have a vision board at my desk, and I had my dirt bike on there. He's like, dude, what's on your vision board right there, bro? Like, you're into dirt bikes or what and whatnot? And that's how it really got kicked off with our relationship. And you know, everything kind of transpired into kind of where we're at today. You know, been riding for about a year now, getting back into it, and you know, we're not stopping, we're not slowing down. And I think the Gypsy 500 and everything, man, like, it's ultimately definitely a tester. It humbled me, but additionally, it was one of the best weekends of my entire life. So
Tell them how you got the bike when you got announced the internal athlete. Oh, yeah. Because like, he had been saving money for a really long time, just to preface, like, the position that he was in, like, he was grinding stuff out. The vision board was the thing that just held him to it.
This yeah,
was
yeah.
The coolest shit ever. Like, he got brought down in front of the company, and like, I don't want to, you know, say too much, but how it actually transpired was like the exact amount, the cool deal. Like you can't leave that part out. That part is set.
So basically what happened, right? I had the vision board and the, you know, I was aiming towards this goal. And basically we have challenges inside the First Form app 4 times a year. And every so often, Andy Frisell will challenge the company to lead by example. And, you know, depending on the transformation challenge and how you do and earning your own results, right? Well, this challenge in particular, this was a challenge internally, and we were all competing each other. And it's crazy, man, because it's an internal vote side of things. And I already had good results, right, from previous challenges and kind of living this lifestyle. So in our internal vote, my photos weren't there. And I was like, oh, man, well, that's okay. I did everything I could. And, you know, we're not going to be voting. Well, come time two, the leadership here brought me down in front of the whole company and announced me as a sponsored athlete for First Form.
No way.
Yeah, and that came with some dollars behind it. And
prize
some,
money.
Hell yeah.
And the crazy part is there was a leftover Kawasaki for $6,200 at my local dealership that I ended up cashing out for $450. So that's why Cowie and all that good stuff kind of transpired from there.
Okay.
He kept, don't let him, like, I'd be like, Matt, when do you get, because I knew he got announced, right? It was a 5K or whatever, and I knew he had set aside some money. So I knew it was in the cards. I'm like, Matt, when's the bike coming? And he's like, I'm not really sure, man. And then next thing I know, he's got this photo shoot release where he drops his sick ass. I'm like, dude, you didn't tell me you got a bike, you know? So it was truly wild. Like when I talked, like he went and got a meal plan and ate it to a T to like, what'd you get down at 3.5% body fat or something?
Yeah, it was like 3.5 or 3.8% body fat.
Right.
That's like competition. That's dice.
Dude, he
that's dice.
Carbs. Like the whole process to squeeze every ounce out of it, led by example, the whole piece. And then it just so happened that like they brought him down. They're like, hey, this amount of money, which is 95% of the bike, and the dude went and bought a bike with it. So
yeah.
You can't leave out that part of the story. That
I appreciate that, man. They were,
absolutely. And honestly, like to compete within, like, and for those who don't know, like First Form is a supplement brand. It's a lifestyle and it's extremely competitive atmosphere. Like for those who work at First Form are your high performers, your highly motivated individuals who, like, they have competition that just runs through their veins. They would race you to the water fountain, if you pick up a step. And the fact that you were able to, like, basically, like, be the biggest badass of the badasses that work there, like, that really, honestly, like, I don't blow too much smoke up your ass, but like, that is really impressive because, like, To outdo some average Joes that aren't really putting in the work, like that's one thing. But like you get a whole entire group of all people who are feeding off of each other and working off of each other and are motivated, as well as you have a guy like Andy who is like a zero option mentality. You're doing the work whether you like it or not. So, like, buckle up because like we're gonna make some sacrifices. We're gonna be disciplined and we're gonna be better for it. To stand out of the herd within that group is a real feather in your cap. Good on you for, allocating those funds accordingly. I myself have 6 Kawasakis to my own, right? Cause I've never sold any of them. They're all beautiful and, they're all green, by the way. And that's how Kawasaki is supposed to be. But let's get to the real elephant in the room, and not just because he's the tallest guy on the team. Sage Voda has a kickstand.
Yeah, I do. I do have a kickstand.
Tell me about this Honda of yours, why it has a kickstand, and how we can maybe have a conversation about possibly eliminating the kickstand situation.
I'm not going to lie. The first time, these guys actually took me out to ride my first moto track. Other than that, it was all desert riding and like woods riding and everything and growing up out in California. So when I went and rode JT's bike, that was October of last year. First time ever being on a track. And then found a kick-ass deal on Facebook Marketplace in Arkansas the next month. Yeah.
Arkansas. Love it.
Arkansas. Dude built it. It was the original owner. And I was like, that's what I want to do. So I being that
2018,
I was
2016,
2019. Yep. He built it fresh out of the factory and out of the box. Like, he's the one that took it out of the crate.
Yeah. Your second owner. So
yeah, I was like, sweet. Got a good deal. But that's a lot of my buddies growing up in Southern California. We're like right on the border of the Mojave Desert and then the Sierra Nevada. So we would
You're just Glamis all day long.
Basically. Glamis,
dude. Glamis guy. Ocotillo Wells.
Speaking of Matt, like talking about camping and stuff, that was pretty much my childhood. Every weekend, go out to the desert and everybody would circle up, bonfire in the middle, and we'd just ride all day until you ran out of gas, and then you'd refill and go out again. And then, you know, go back out the next weekend. And then baseball really started to enter the picture, and I was actually halfway decent at that and figured I was like, well,
I can see you on the baseball field. Yeah.
So I ultimately had to make a decision. I would ride when it wasn't baseball season, kind of pick up a buddy's bike here and there. But my last bike, speaking of Ditch Pickle, was a 65 Kawasaki before this too.
Hey.
A 65, right? So like I have been dreaming and daydreaming and I put a bike on my vision board, and it was one of those things where like I had, once these guys started riding, I was like, man, I got to really start saving money. Like I need to get out. Matt and I would go mountain bike and kind of do our thing. But you know, really it was super cool to be constantly talking about it with these guys. But this bike is truly my first, my own bike since a 65. And so I think, that's my fifth ride on it. So yeah, we threw it on the trailer and headed out to Mesquite. So the whole thing was definitely a cannonball run. But after I stopped playing baseball, it was like, well, we can push the envelope a little bit. Bought a hardtail off of Marketplace, quickly outrode the hardtail, bought a full suspension, started sending that, and then I was like, all right, well, we definitely got to get a dirt bike now. So found a smoking deal, and here we are. So signed up for some woods races and still finding a way to tune the suspension to hit the track with these guys. But any time I'm on two wheels, like, it doesn't just throw me out there. We'll figure it out.
Sage, would you say that you have an addictive personality?
slightly addictive, mostly to, some more of the expensive hobbies, particularly race fuel and horsepower. Yeah, for sure.
Yep. Fair enough. We have already talked about owning a sprint car team within the next decade or so. Aaron, for you, what does it mean for First Form to dip its toes into the world of motocross and kind of cross that boundary where, like, a lot of people, their perception of moto is that it's not something that a lot of gym goers typically do. Like it's like people that ride, essentially their training is actually riding the motorcycle. If you live in a rural area, you probably don't even have a home gym. You're just sort of, and like supplementation is something that's not really understood. But I think there's a lot of opportunities for a lot of education there and just like an immersion to the brand, like these non-endemic First Form fans that have never seen it before. Now they can be introduced to something that's pretty infectious.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you kind of just hit that on the head. I mean, motocross and dirt bikes in themselves are kind of just an animal by themselves. I mean, there's a big encompassing umbrella under motorsports, you know, any form of racing, but dirt bikes in general, I mean, it's just a whole different animal by itself. And there is a big opportunity for a lot of education there and, you know, to be able to use supplementation when you need it. I mean, we firsthand witnessed being able to, you know, use it ourselves and then help others at the Gypsy race. I mean, I think I personally made it maybe 2 hours. We were 2 hours in and, you know, I didn't really start doing any supplementation until then and I was already feeling it. And so being able to use the right products when you need to use it is huge. And it literally saved me because I think I pulled in and I think it was on camera. I was gassed already at like the 2 hour mark. So as the day kind of went on, a couple of the guys that were pitted next to us started to get some cramping, and kind of were asking what kind of products we had that could help with cramping. So in between, you know, kind of like working on the bike and, you know, pit changes and stuff like that, you know, we were able to kind of help the guys next to us, with the products that we had, on hand with us. And, you know, they were obliged by it for sure. And cramps went away and they started feeling a lot better and they were kind of able to finish the race. So, you know, just a little bit of education and knowledge on, you know, the supplements that we did have was huge. And, you know, if we can kind of just, you know, repeat that and, you know, promote that to the bigger audience, I mean, just one person at a time, I mean, that's what we're trying to do.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that really stuck out to me was with Matt, like going around talking to some people, it wasn't about selling. It was about helping people understand. And I think that was a big piece. And Matt, I think you can maybe speak to that a little bit, is the fact that like sales is about like finding solutions for people. And when they're at the track, they're dehydrated, they have 6 more hours of an 8-hour long race to go, and they've got a look in their eyes like, I not might be able to get it. That information that you're able to give, as well as the products you guys had on hand, pretty awesome.
1,000%. And I think Aaron really hit it on the head there as far as the education piece, right? Because, you know, whether you're in the gym or you're on the track or any of these different things, like as an amateur athlete, as a pro athlete, like you're diminishing your body, right? Like you're breaking down your lean tissue, muscle, you know, you're using your glycogen, your energy stores, essentially, right? Like, I mean, the Gypsy 500 was definitely a testament to that for me, myself personally, even though I have nutrition on point and all these things on point, right? Water, hydration, rest and recovery and all these things, right? But it truly does come down to an education side of things, right? And I think from the education, you know, understanding like, hey, we are using energy, we are breaking down lean tissue. Well, what are we going to do during the workout, during the moto, during the session, in between motos? What are we going to do after to recover, right? Like, is it rest recovery? Is it, you know, of course, like taking in a, you know, fast reducing protein, taking in a fast reducing carb to recover, have a bigger window there. And for myself personally, you know, in the sport, you know, I've had to learn a lot of these things over time to understand how to recover. How do I get back out on the motos? How do I get it back out on the track? How do I continue to stay consistent where I'm not drained for a week or 2 weeks after a moto or a race, right? And I think your point about selling or educating, you know, this is how I view it, right? Is like, I have certain running shoes that I like. I have certain moto gear that I like, helmets and gloves and gear and, you know, things that work for me personally. Those are recommendations from my personal experience, right? And that's what I recommend to the friends and the family. And when people ask my genuine opinion, because I know what works and what doesn't work, right? And, you know, I think it really comes down to, okay, man, like when I take these products in between motos or after motos, like, and I am actually recovering, that's what helps me. And that's what I'm going to recommend somebody else, because I know how I feel. I want somebody else to feel the same way, right? It's the same thing with everything. Even if I'm not making money from it, like the running shoes or the moto gear or whatever, you're still going to make that recommendation for the brands or things that you stand behind that actually help you, right? And of course, like when we're at the Gypsy 500, man, like, I mean, we know arm pump is the death killer of whatever you want to call it, but, you know, taking...
It was a constant situation. It was a status of life.
And, you know, cramping and things like that. So, you know, staying hydrated with electrolytes, staying hydrated with fast digesting carbs, like making sure your hydration's on point. Like, dude, like, I mean, that's what helped us. I mean, even for myself, like I'm proud of the fact that we started in 17th, finished in 13th overall as a team. And, you know, we finished the event, right? Like it was a humbling event for myself. It definitely tested my athleticism, even though, you know, I'm in the gym, my, you know, workout programming, things like that. And all levels of athletics, you know, in riding, you know, inside the gym, outside the gym, you have to be able to perform, you know, outside the track, but on the track too. And I think that's, you know, the testament of truly helping and not selling, like, you know, truly helping somebody with education and just providing solutions for them to make the decision for themselves.
Certainly. Yeah. Like knowledge is power when it comes to getting yourself in the best position possible to just to go out there and enjoy the sport. Like if I told you that if there was a select set of supplements that you could use throughout the day, that you would get 20% more enjoyment out of your day and be 20% less beaten to hell the next day when you wake up and you can actually just go to work and not be just an absolute, just like head to toe soreness, wound of sadness. Like, would you do it? And the answer is probably yes for all of that. But let's talk about meat sticks and not just talking about Sage, the meat stick. They're delicious. I had way too many of them. I brought them home and my fiance ate the rest of them. I went to go check in the pantry the other day. Gone. Every single one of them. They're so tasty. That also means I need to put in a new order. But is there one specific, like, product that you guys brought to the Gypsy 500 that you feel was like an absolute game changer? I'm so glad we brought this. And then is there also something that was left at HQ There it is. Yeah, I seen that. I probably should have brought myself one. But yeah, Sage, break it down for me.
Yeah, I think there's a couple key components, but at the end of the day, to Matt's point, like he was saying, like ultimately the soreness that you experience, and then the depletion and that drain feeling. I mean, not only the guys next to us, myself, I'm pretty sure after pretty much every lap, we were hitting the post-workout stack, right? It was just super simple carbs, a couple different flavors that we had to choose from at the booth there, which is always a plus, but super light on the stomach too. You know, a lot of the times, like the other, like I used to take protein, I used to take, you know, a couple different supplements, and it feels super heavy, and it's like the opposite effect. You know, you're like, I'm supposed to take this. I know it's important, but at the same time, but no, we would smash that. Ice cold water, super refreshing. Give it about 15 to 20 minutes, starting to kick in and digest. And then, you know, by that time, the next guy was out, then you'd be starting to prep your gear, you know, smash a little bit of water, and then we're back. Especially that the ignition piece, that has some electrolytes and some vitamins and stuff in there too. So that just helps replenish, you know, what you're losing. But I'd say the post-workout stack, if I had to take one product on the head back to Gypsy again, it'd be that one for sure.
I couldn't agree more, because like you're talking to a guy who, my dad started dragging me to the gym when I was 13 years old, to the point where a few probably people at the gym were like, yeah, your kid might be a little bit young to be here. But to be training as seriously as I was, but I'm old enough to remember when like protein shakes were brutal. Like you couldn't mix them with enough anything to make them not feel chalky. And then like you drink one, you feel super bloated. Like I go crush my workout. I get my entire hour in, whether I kick my ass in the garage or I head up to my local gym. I come home, I knock back the shake. My girlfriend or my fiance asked me if I even tasted it, because it usually just flies right by. But when it mixed with the ignition, like it's just smooth. And I don't feel like, honestly, like I'm a big, like I can't eat close to when I train, which actually makes getting your calories in very difficult, because like if you're trying to like be like sort of sensitive to that, you really have like a small window of when you can eat, right? But I find for myself, like I could probably, I swear to God, I bet I could do the like a post-workout, the post-work stack and go run 5 miles.
Yeah.
Like without feeling that sloshy, like I feel heavy and gross feeling. And that's really something to be said, because that's very rare.
Or ride 7, right?
Throw
it out again.
Keep going back on the truck. And actually, that reminds me of something. It was an 8-hour long race. I did 9 laps, but I only passed one of you.
It's probably me.
No, it was the 14 machine.
Oh, wasn't that?
14 machine on the moto track. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I witnessed that. I can't confirm or deny.
I can confirm it, because I was like, there's that infield triple, and I wasn't jumping it. Neither was anybody else, because that thing got gnarly. But I'm looking at literally just an entire grid of inside ruts, and I pick myself something right on the inside, and who's out on the vet line, just like just taking in the scenery. I was wondering, when am I going to see these guys? Because we must have been kind of ships passing in the night more often than not. But yeah, I only passed the one of you, and it was the 14 machine. Are all three of you going to keep the front number plate as like a memento, or are we clean that right off altogether?
Not my desk. I brought it into the interview today. It's sitting right up in the cubby now. Yep.
I like it. Tired. I like it.
Yeah, I'm going to spoiler alert, my bike's going back to green and everything's changing. So I'm going to keep all the plastics and graphics.
Okay. I think that's a great memento. Like I left the front, like the 508, which was on the, it was so funny, because literally the night of the race, or the night before the race, I like did full graphic kit. Like you guys saw my bike on the Friday, completely bare. I stayed up till 11 o'clock at night, like making sure the graphics were on, back when you were like guys were sleeping in a truck or something like that. And I just, the graphics were perfect. And then like literally 6 hours later, just like smear the Gypsy 500 sticker across their thing, that thing. So that was cool. But honestly, I think it was so much fun. The only problem is, boys, this is the only real problem, especially considering the majority of Verb Team 2 either threw in the towel, slept in, or were not actually prepared to do any amount of riding for the Gypsy 500, is that I wasn't ready either. I wasn't ready for the physical undertaking, the mental undertaking, and I need some help. And I'm wondering if you guys can help me out with that.
Were any of us really, though? I pose a question back. I really don't know if any of us.
No, were. You can't prepare yourself for something you've never experienced before, probably properly anyway. But yeah, I was hurting. I weighed myself this morning, 208 pounds of twisted steel and pudding. And yeah, not proud. But we're gonna get that. We're doing the spring challenge with First Form. And for those who haven't already checked it out, honestly, like, it's not too late to get on that, as far as like, because you can still enter it. Yeah.
Yeah, we got the lifestyle challenge as well, which is anything basically extended beyond the 8 weeks. So we do have the 8 week sprint, but then the lifestyle is, it's not only about the challenges, like they're great opportunities to get ahead, but truly it is a lifestyle that,
yeah,
you know, 2, 3, 4 months, a year from now, 2 years from now, like, we want you to continue to excel in those results. So from that standpoint, you can always get inside the app, and anything 9 weeks or longer inside of the app will get you eligible for the lifestyle challenge winner too.
All right. So Verb Pod Network faithful listeners, of the many thousands of you, I'm not here to sell you an app, but here, let me sell you an app. Like, the First Form app, I'm finding it to be incredibly useful on so many different levels. Like, don't have a personal trainer? Too bad. Now you do. You don't have someone tracking all of your reminding you of all your goals and keeping you accountable? Too bad. Now you do. Like, you need a way to track all of your calories and macros and this, that, and the other thing. Like, your excuses are zero with this app, because it literally tracks everything in there. I was showing my fiance this earlier, because she's the kind of person who will show up at the gym with no real plan and then sort of tries to like ad lib themselves something based on what's available and someone's on the lat pull downs for an hour. So she's just sort of like gypsying herself around the room. Like, it will literally set, whether you have like a dumbbells only or a garage style workout or just body weight stuff. You want to do HIIT training, there's HIIT training. You want to do like restorative yoga, it's on there. So like honestly, like, if it was mobility, regardless of your goals, it's a really, really neat app. And I'm going to be using that over the next 5 to 6 weeks. And in the meantime, the four of us are planning a road trip of my own. You guys are going to stay put in the flyover state that is Missouri. I mean, Missouri. And I'm going to come down. I'm going to just, like, I'm going to take over HQ. I'm going to put Andy Frisella in a fucking headlock. And I'm going to, I'm going to noogie him until he says he's coming to the Gypsy 500 East. But part of my training is coming down there and spending some time with you guys. Unfortunately for JT, his Blues will be long since out of they'll be golfing for quite some time at that point. But I'm excited. I'm going to come down to HQ, the zenith of First Form, and experience what it's like. I plan on being there for at least a week. I don't know whose house I'm staying on, whose couch I'm staying on. I'm hoping to take part in a team workout. If there's good, nice weather, which I expect there to be nice weather, because you guys have way nicer weather than I want to ride my dirt bike. I think the KTM 300 is coming with me. And yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to do some cool shit.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. And, you know, part of you jumping into the app too is obviously we got the training facility, the team workouts, get you on the InBody scanner. We'll start to show and document that piece of the process, because, you know, I think going out for a track day would be pretty cool. I know, the man himself. Yeah.
Is there like local race? Is there like a local Missouri series?
You guys rock in any direction, couple hours. Yeah, we'll be there. The man himself also sent a message over to Aaron, said he's ready to spin some laps too. So we'll see what we can't get cooking, but get a little workout in, get some meals in, maybe another podcast. But
yes, in-person podcast, just passing around the microphone. That would be some fun. And then, yeah, just turn me loose on the plus 30 class and watch me get second last.
I'm in that class too.
there you go. So yeah, no, I'm excited. Yeah, look pro, go slow, bro. Like, that's what it's all about. So as long as you're able to stave off arm pump a little more, And you guys mentioned arm pump. So what was like the go-to remedy for that? Was it hydration? Was it just more energy drinks? What was it?
One of my favorites pre-workout wise, we actually developed it for CrossFit athletes. But especially in grip heavy and intensive workouts, like your toes to bar, your snatch heavy, you know, workouts and stuff like that. Enduroformance was something that we were throwing in the water bottles. You do that with about 12, 14 ounces of cold water, but it helps buffer that lactic acid. So it's not going to take it away completely, but definitely can help deliver a lot of the nutrients in and through the bloodstream to making sure that you're not pumping out. So different ingredients, different pre-workouts made for different things, but in going through and kind of racking our brains together, we were looking, all right, what would be the most effective? And that by far, I mean, I still got a little bit of it, just pulled a little Cooper Weber on the edges, but you know, at the end of the day, like it helped buffer a lot of that. So the Enduroformance was clutch.
I love it. Aaron, tell me about the thing that you enjoyed most about the Gypsy 500 and tell me what you will do differently for the 500 East to make sure you're better prepared.
Well, the thing I enjoyed the most probably about the Gypsy 500, I guess was the race. I mean, it was, we all knew it was going to be a pretty long race coming into it. But we really didn't know what we were up against until we started hitting the track. And just seeing the layout, like lap after lap after lap.
I'm just glad it didn't get rough or rough.
You know what? I am very jealous. I actually sent Sage a video of this. I'm very jealous. Sage went first for our team. The way the track looked first lap. Jealous. So jealous. Like it was.
I was the first two laps, actually. I was the first three laps for a Verb team.
Rock, paper, scissors, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
You got the checkered flag. I know all three. They should have sent all three of you out there. Like transponders be damned. Just like.
No, but honestly, the race was the best part. And that's no surprise there. But Gypsy East, TBD. I'm not a huge woods person if there is any woods involved. So we'll see. But I'm always down for a good time.
That's Stu Baylor's house.
Okay. So yeah, definitely different than Gypsy 500 West. So we'll see.
All right. And then Matty Z or Zed up here in Canada.
My favorite part of the Gypsy 500, honestly, it was literally seeing the quick turnaround and kind of the planning and everything with the whole event, you know, not only from, you know, just the connections, right, you know, with everybody and really just honestly getting together with Sage and Aaron and the team, you know, James and JT and just literally, hey, are you down for this? Are you in? Yes. Cool. Well, I don't have to, you know, it was that definite definition and we literally just put everything together, planned it all. I mean, we literally worked, packed up the truck and left. The 26-hour drive, we had a rock slide that we had a 4-hour turnaround time for. So that was wild. But honestly, it was the trip. It was the whole excursion, I would just say, from the planning and just honestly the moment after the race and when we got back to St. Louis of like, dude, that was like literally one of the best events I've ever been to in my life. Just from the overall trip, the planning, the event as a whole, for me personally, cause I haven't done anything like that in a long time that really pushed my limits, but additionally doing it with folks that I really cared about, to do it as a team, but additionally meeting new friends and, you know, people that I can call lifelong friends from here on out. And then I guess, what I'm going to do different in the Gypsy East, man, I don't know, maybe, it's a really good question because I don't really know how to prepare for that, but you know, really getting down, make sure obviously rest, recovery, nutrition, hydration, everything else is really on point. Honestly, really starting that now for the Gypsy East. So the sooner you start, the sooner, you're going to be prepped and ready to take it on and hammer down. But I think communication and, some different details at the, you know, when it comes time for race day.
Certainly. And maybe toughening up the hands a little bit. Cause there was some, I don't know if you guys saw Brett Q's hands, but they were basically falling apart at the seams. Sage, weigh in on me, for me, what your favorite part was aside from, just like the absolute tomfoolery of the exchanges were every time you guys did a pit stop and like James just like locked in, like that was basically his entire life right there. And then,
on the stopwatch, had
JT just being a cartoon character.
No, I think, in reflecting, we had a lot of time to debrief on the way back and just talk about the ups and most of the ups. You know, there really wasn't a lot of downs through it. Like, there's some things that we had to.
I heard you guys were tired and grumpy on the way home.
Yeah, yeah. Towards the end there, JT, he was a rock star for a co-pilot. And but, you know, it's like along there. One thing that Jay said on, I forgot what episode, listening to Gypsy Tales, but, you know, he made a great point. It was like, happiness is just truly relief. You know, like, we love what we do, but being able to be out on a bike, like, you really don't think, I didn't think about anything else through that whole weekend. Like, I was in between changing oil and sampling beef sticks to Luther and whoever else that were coming up. And like, but truly, like, being out there and making memories, like, Aaron's got a Polaroid, you know, we just took an old disposable roller camera through the whole thing. And so, you know, it was just like going back and watching the vlogs and starting to look through the photos. And we could have not had media out there. We could have not, like, none of the kids and anything just rolled up with bikes, and it still would have been just as fun, you know, and just like that love and adoration for being on the bike and going out and doing it with your buddies. That's what I did in high school. Like, have the bikes, yeah, in the back of the truck, drive out to the desert, and then just rip from there, you know, and see the truck in 3 hours. And so it was such a good reminder of that, being back out in the desert. But, you know, as I look towards Gypsy East, and it's like, well, what would I do different? Suspension for sure. Taking the forks in right after we get off this call. But no, I mean, just getting in more than 5 rides. I think it was a great opportunity to get in and get, you know, get dirty, muddy, bloody and everything, and just fight out the battle. But truly in developing a lot of bike skills, like taking the small things, especially through the woods, and, you know, being able to just spin more laps and put a little bit more time in on the bike. I think from a fitness perspective, like, you're going to be drained after 8 hours no matter what, right? So, like, yeah, you can help prolong that. But really, at the end of the day, technical skills, like getting out and riding with these guys and asking more questions and riding with people that are faster than me, just developing some more. So pretty stoked for it, but a little bit of seat time. That's all I can say.
Fair enough. Did you get passed by the kid in the Super Mini?
No, I actually passed him. I felt pretty good about that. We were in the sand section out there in the desert, and he did give me a good run for the money through a couple of turns there, but that was kind of my one goal on that lap, was to make sure that he did not get to the pit before I did.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, like, on a race that long, a lot of things can motivate you, but, no, I'm glad you guys, took me up on the offer to come out. I'm glad it worked out as far as you guys enjoying yourself and, going out there and just crushing it. I'm looking forward to the Gypsy East, and, yeah, dude. This has been so much fun. I'm also really glad that you guys took the time to bring out some filmers and actually get some really high quality images from that. Like, those are stuff that you'll be able to look back on in years from now that are just like so stoked that you got to be a part of that and enjoy it and kind of like be able to look back on it. So, yeah, it's all about making memories.
Carl. Sure.
All right, so for Aaron, Sage, Matt, and of course your host Brad Gebhardt here on the Verb Pod Network, I thank you boys so much for making time for me. We're gonna have to make this a repeat offender, but more than likely it'll be in person.
Looking forward to it. We'll have the subs ready. We'll have the gym warmed up for you, and we'll see you down here soon.
Awesome, boys. Let's throw it to my interview with James and JT.
All right, guys. Like I said, that was an awesome interview with Sage, Matt, and Aaron from First Form. Those guys are an absolute riot. Looking forward to doing more stuff with them. Just like creating so much positivity around the moto community and injecting fitness and the knowledge around the fitness to allow you guys to just enjoy the sport every bit much as you possibly can. Like, if you're in better shape and you have the energy to be able to do those more motos, well, you're going to get more throttle therapy. That's just the way it works. So you guys have yourself a great rest of your day. Let's get to this interview quickly with JT and James, and then I'll let you guys get to the last portion of the podcast, which is always we sign off with Out at the Ranch by Zach Heron.
And joining us on the line from the First Form headquarters all the way in St. Louis, Missouri. Of course, they were at Supercrosses last weekend. JT Thompson, as well as James Lynch, welcome to the Verb Pod Network. Welcome to the show.
What up, Brad?
What's up, Brad? Thanks for having us.
Boys, it is so much fun to have you guys on the show. The energy is infectious. I'm sure you guys both cracked open a First Form energy drink not moments before we hit record on this. Showing it up. That's actually blue raspberry. That's one of my favorite ones. always crisp and cold. And unfortunately, I think my buddy James, different James, took the better part of half of those when we separated ways in Lethbridge. But the three of us met down at Mesquite MX. It was a long road trip for you guys. It was a long road trip for me. But the destination was the same. Let's spin the clocks back a bit, though. Like, whether it was Matt, Aaron, or Sage, those guys probably threw an idea to you guys, and you guys were in there like a dirty shirt. Like, how long is the drive? Let's do this.
Yeah, that was it, mostly. Like, so me, short story, is me, JT, and Maddie actually all lived together. And
okay.
We were sitting on the couch one day, and Maddie goes, hey, me and Sage and Aaron got this team together. We're going to go to this race in Mesquite, Nevada. And we were like, that sounds dope. He goes, it'd be kind of nice if we had some support. And me and JT go, well, I guess we're going. So just tell me the dates and we'll make sure we're there. So that's kind of the short story of how it started. Was like, it didn't really matter what we were going into, but it involved dirt bikes. So you could sign us up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and on top of that, you know.
Go ahead.
We heard about it. We heard about it. And I found out that it was a four-man team and found out those three guys were putting together a team. Well, as you knew from whenever we met down there in Mesquite, like I had brain surgery back in August. I think I found out about it sometime in the winter. And I look at Matt. I'm like, I'm going to be ready to ride. Like, I'm joining this team. And he looked at me. He's like, dude, you can't even walk down the stairs. Like, I don't know how you expect to ride. So that was one of the biggest pushers towards being kind of support for this as well. So just because I love anything with two wheels.
Dude, that's so sick. And like the fact that you were able to use the Gypsy 500 as motivation to do a lot of work, a lot of PT and all that to get yourself ready. And yeah, the 251 machine was down there. Like you did a little bit of riding on the Saturday or the Friday, did you not?
Yeah, I rode one practice lap on Friday, which was the first time I rode since August.
Dude, that's so cool. Like, you were actually able to, like, get out there on the track. It wasn't nearly as rough as it was Saturday. But yeah, take me through that a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about your obviously the surgery that you had and the recovery.
Yeah. So I had brain surgery, my fifth brain surgery, August 16th of last year in 23. Wasn't really, I mean, I was mentally prepared for it going in. Big thing is just having the right people around me, the right mindset, stuff like that definitely helped. You know, having that can-do attitude from First Form and all the people here definitely helped me out. But as anyone knows from any kind of like spinal cord injury or any kind of like nerve injury or something like that, it's a long road to recovery. It's really annoying. I feel like I've plateaued for probably the last like 3 months, but you know what? We're going to break through that plateau one day. So, but yeah, I mean, I was told that I wasn't going to really be able to walk without, you know, assistance for about 4 months after surgery. And I think I walked without assistance about 12 hours after my surgery, partly because I'm just really stubborn. I guess I get that from the British side of my family, where I blame my mom for it anyways.
We can blame mom.
But, yeah, we'll blame mom. But, yeah, it's just been a really long road. It's about 7 months out now. They told me I could start training again back in like January. As James knows, I went and ran a mile and a half right out the gate, in January, and it put me back in the hospital the next day. So, ended up pushing my recovery back quite a lot. And that was part of the reason I didn't ride at the Gypsy for the race.
Okay.
Yeah, man, I'm signed up for a 9-hour with Sage in May, and we're going to go hit that 9-hour hair scramble together in May. So, but yeah, everything's been going good. I still struggle with using my left hand and stuff like that, but, you know, just like anything, just motivated to power through and find ways through it, so.
Absolutely. Well, you have the right support system around you. I think we talked about this a little bit at the 500. Like, both of you guys and the whole crew, obviously working at and representing First Form, which is a supplement brand, but it's also a way of life. Like, you guys support each other with energy and enthusiasm and expertise and, like, just being that, like, person that you needed to lean on whenever you guys needed something, whether it's on the track, like setting things up on that long ride. Like, James, like it must be pretty inspiring to you to see a guy like JT who's like working through this, like battling through it every single day, but also seeing him be able to make some strides week after week. Like, it's small improvements, but it's improvements nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is we don't really give an option.
The zero option mentality.
Yeah, like there's definitely days he wakes up and like we're all hanging out. It's like you could tell he's ready to be active and like get after PT and stuff like that. And that's really cool to see, like from that standpoint. But then there's like where like me and Maddie come in living with him. It's like you could tell the days it's like, man, maybe I'm not going to make progress. And you have to pretty much sit there. Like, I think my biggest role in JT's recovery has been like the mental side of things, proving, like getting himself to prove to himself that he is way stronger than he thinks he is. Like the whole can do mentality. It's like, you can't go at everything saying you can't do it. If you immediately say that, like, okay, it's probably true. If you can go at things and say, no, I can do this, whether or not you can or you can't, it, you give yourself a whole, like a head start, essentially, in being able to do it.
Give yourself a chance, really. If you say you can't do it, you can't. That's done.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. And like the whole positive mindset, like no matter what we say, like at home, it's like me and Matt almost don't acknowledge when JT says something negative. Like, not because we didn't hear it, just because it's not something we want to encourage. So we wait until he says something positive. It's like, all right, we can acknowledge that conversation now. But it's a mental battle as much as a physical battle.
Yeah, certainly. And like one of the things that I love about First Form, and obviously having followed Andy Frisella, the guy who owns the owner of First Form for as many years, is that like he has the ability to harness what he would call like sort of the power of the dark side, of that being able to like be hard on yourself and be like use that negativity, but be able to spin that in a way that you're able to turn that into a positive outcome. Is that like, yeah, there's not going to be a day, like every single day you go to train, you're not going to feel like it. Every single day that you want to go make some gains, you're not going to be at your absolute best. But like, if the best you got today is a 60%, can I have 60%? Like, can I have all 60 of that percent to move forward and move the needle? And yeah, the fact that you guys are able to stay positive and continue to work towards those things not only makes you a great group to be around, but it's just a hallmark for the entire organization that is sort of like based around giving in your best effort, regardless of what that is.
Yeah, the group mentality is huge. It's because then no matter what day it is, like 90% of us are going to be good. So like, if I don't feel like doing something that day, that's all right, because I know the people I've surrounded myself with are going to push me to do it anyways. So when you can't fight the battle yourself, as long as you have the right support system, you're still going to fight the battle because you don't get given the option because of the people you put around you.
So let's dive into this road trip, because you guys are in a vehicle for over 50 hours in a very short period of time. Like, I was at least over 10 days that I ended up being in a vehicle for damn near 80 hours. But like, you guys did 50 in 5, if I'm not mistaken, which is averaging 10 hours a day in a vehicle, by the way. And you were in Mesquite for 3 of those days. So it was, you guys were in the pain locker quite a bit, but also, like I said, surrounded by good friends of yours. Like, heading out onto the road, I'm sure you guys ate your weight in beef jerky or the meat sticks. Like, those things are just flying. I think I stabbed 2 or 3 of those left over before I'm completely out. But take me through, like, just sort of, like, being around the group and taking on an event like this, because it was, as much as, like, the event was on the track and doing the thing, you guys were also part of it for the entire drive and everything else in between.
Yeah, so before this, the farthest I'd ever drove was probably about 6.5 hours.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's the longest I've been in a car, farthest I've traveled in a day. Like, I've been to Florida, but my parents broke it up into a 2-day trip. Mm. So, which in all reality, now I'm just like, I think I could travel anywhere in a day. After that trip with this perspective, yep, that I have now. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. When we first got in the truck,
vibes were probably higher than when you got out of the truck.
We definitely underestimated how long it was going to take to load up the trailer. All the guys were like, well, I think I underestimated it the most, because we all got off work at 5 and I was like, oh, we're going to be on the road by like 6:30, 7 o'clock. I think we got on the road about 8:30.
Yeah, almost 9.
almost 9 o'clock. So we had worked a full day of work the day, like that day, left after work that Wednesday. I think Matt already had like 4 energy drinks, like probably down the hatch before.
Does he even really need them?
I think that he needs them now to just function. I don't think he has blood in his veins. I think it's 1P energy drinks.
Okay. Fair enough. That makes sense.
Well, yeah. But no, I kind of figured us to trade off drivers a little more, like on our way down there, than we did. I think Maddie drove the first like 8 hours.
Yeah, probably.
He didn't want anyone else to drive at the beginning. I kept asking him if he needed to switch when we were in Kansas, because it was pitch black and foggy as can be. And I kept looking at him like, dude, I can drive if you want. I don't even think he trusted me to drive, honestly. Like, I don't think – I was the only one who didn't drive the entire time.
Like, okay, yeah, that's a silent message being sent from
long trip, though. Like, basically – from, like you said, like we started out and we're all looking at the clock. We're like, oh, it's 24 hours. That's nothing. And then 2 hours go by and like, all right, we got 22 hours left. That's nothing. And then I don't know where time went, because it started taking forever. Keep in mind, I was in the back seat for like the first, well, I was in the back seat almost all of the trip except when I was driving. And about partway through Kansas, I was passed out until I don't know when. So
pretty much till Colorado.
Yeah, that was helpful. Jeez. But past that, the rest of the day after, so like we left at 9, and once sunrise came finally and we were still driving and we got to go through like mountains and Colorado and Utah and stuff like that, then it was like, I think we all woke up again, even though none of us really got any great sleep. It was just like, we were vibing. It didn't really matter how far the drive was. We had dirt bikes on a trailer and our best guys with us. So the second half of the drive on the way there was definitely way more enjoyable and most definitely helped the drive go by way faster.
So if I'm not mistaken, the both of you guys do ride, correct?
Yeah.
I have a bike.
And you ride. Don't start with me. Like, everyone who rides, you ride. Like, this isn't quizzing you on lap times. It's like, do you enjoy two-wheel exhilaration and throttle therapy? And the answer is yes.
Absolutely.
So coming out to an event like this, like this month, like I know you guys had your heads on a swivel the entire time, like seeing this many people descend on one motocross facility. You've got vloggers all over the place. You got podcasters doing their thing, content. But then on top of that, you guys provided a service, which I think is pretty underrated. Like, you had the full setup, all the first form stuff, laid out, informing people, hooking them up with whether it was, post-workout, pre-workout. Yeah, you name it. You guys, if I'm not mistaken, you guys booked off some holidays to do this, but it seemed like you guys were working the entire time.
It felt like that.
lifestyle.
But at the same time, like, I had a blast. Like, I love talking to people. I love especially being in the moto community. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a motocross track, you know, I grew up in the woods. Like, ride woods and stuff like that. So, like, that's more my family. But anything with two wheels is family. So, you know, honestly, being at this, because a lot of times the moto community can be, like, super tight-knit, especially whenever you go to, like, amateur motocross events and stuff like that, compared to, like, you know, a local hair scramble race or a GNCC or anything like that. It's very much – I'd still say they're both family oriented, but it's just a different vibe at both of those places. But I felt like the Gypsy was like a combination of everything.
Yeah, no, you guys are totally in your element. And then also like being support staff for these guys, like who out of the three of them, being Matt, Sage, and Aaron, like who needed the most amount of support really? Like who needed the pep talks? Is it like, are we just going to throw them under the bus? Like,
No, I'm not throwing him under the bus. He's just a little needy.
The little needy. I mean, well, he is your roommate, so you guys know him better, I guess.
Yeah, but realistically, the wild thing was, I know that race was hard, even though I didn't even get to, I didn't do a single lap.
Right.
But it was intense. And these guys, I'm telling you, they came off the track, they would make their post-workout recovery shake, and as soon as it went down the hatch, it's like, you almost couldn't find them until their next lap, because not only were they trying to recover themselves, they were legitimately going to our neighbor tents, tents past that, and like engaging with the community. How can we help you guys? Are you guys doing all right? And I'm like, dude, I know you're sore.
Yeah.
Me and JT are more capable of like helping do this stuff. And yeah, they were like Sage specifically, he was hard to find sometimes because he was out just trying to educate and help anybody that was out there, no matter, even though I'm sure he was hurting. It was cool to see that.
Dude, he's so switched on. And yeah, like every single day he sent, like we're doing the challenge right now, the spring challenge with First Form. And he sends me his intake every day with the calories. And like, I think he obviously he's sending that. So I send mine back and I'm like, mine wasn't as clean as yours, damn it. So it's getting competitive out there. It's lots of fun, dude. I'm dedicated. Next 8 weeks, it's there's 55 days left. And I am dead set on losing the spare tire that I've been carrying around, which I also carried around the entire Gypsy 500. But like of all the products that you guys brought out there, and there were a number of them that were incredibly impactful. Is there anything that you wish you brought that you didn't, or is there a specific product that you think really hit home and allowed these guys to be able to participate and compete at their best? Because you guys were doing some quick turnarounds with the pit stops and everything. It was a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for James, but personally, I think we kind of covered all the bases when we were down there. You know, all of our hydration sticks, you know, had hydration covered, post-workout covered. You know, we even had a stim-free pre-workout out there and stuff like that to help with, like, arm pump as well as just endurance in general. So, you know, I think we had our bases covered with all that. I think one thing we could have done a little bit different was be, I mean, I know you talked about how proactive we were about handing stuff out, but I personally think we could have been more proactive about handing stuff out throughout the, you know, the couple of days we were there instead of it just being on race day.
Fair enough. So, fair enough.
Felt like we were there for the race, and then we at points got so focused on the race and making sure that the race was going smooth that we slacked on how can we be providing the service that we were there to be there for.
Right.
But I think the biggest product we slung was those meat sticks, dude. Like everybody,
they were popular.
As soon as the work got out, those meat sticks could not stay on the table. They were gone.
Yeah.
I swear to God, dude, my chick ate them all. You guys gave me like 50 of them. I got like four. I looked in the pantry yesterday. There's nothing there.
Luther, I'm pretty sure, ate a whole case.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Luther took and ate a whole case while we were there.
I would believe that. He's the kind of guy that would enjoy himself a meat stick. What's your flavor? What do you guys go with? Like, there's the breakfast one. I like the breakfast one. I actually sliced one up and put it into an omelet one time. That was pretty decent. What's your go-to? And you guys only had the Cajun and the breakfast. I like both, but apparently there's a whole smattering of offerings.
Oh, yeah. We've got about six flavors right now. My favorite is the sharp cheddar one.
Mm.
You can't beat it. It's got a little, it's got cheese in there. I mean, it's pretty gas.
Okay.
JT stole those straight from my mind.
Fair enough. I was going to say, like, those I think you got to be careful with, though, because like 170 calories, 20 grams protein, like, you enjoy a few too many of those and it starts to, like, maybe this isn't the cleanest bulk we could be putting ourselves on. Like, but that's pretty decent, though. 20 grams of protein for 170 calories? Like, that's not bad at all.
Yeah. And a lot of times, like, it's not necessarily something I eat every day. Mm. But as Matt would call it, it makes his list of track snacks. It is so easy to take that specific thing to the track because, A, it's not going to melt.
Yeah.
B, it does get you that protein, and C, it doesn't take that long to eat.
Right.
So it's just a matter of, it's a necessity, or not a necessity, just like a, it's a quick snack. So it's very something convenient. Easy and convenient. That's the word I was looking for.
First Form giving a whole new meaning to track snacks. I absolutely love it. Yeah, it seemed like you guys had a really good time. I hope that you guys will come out to another one. We're doing the Gypsy South, which is at the Shoals MX. That's, I believe, the first weekend in December. And, I don't know if you guys are aware yet. This is like sort of preliminary discussions, but there's talk of a Fundurance race going down at Washougal in June.
Well, the nice thing is I'm pretty sure I have at least another like week or two of PTO this year. I guess I might have to go.
Fair enough. We might have to circle that date on the calendar. For Verbapalooza, we're teaming up with Jeff Emig, if I'm not mistaken. I could be completely speaking out of turn and super in trouble for saying this. But yeah, it sounds like we are going to do something special with the one, the only Jeff Emig. And yeah, it's going to be a Fundurance event. They're thinking somewhere around a 4-hour event, maybe not 8 hours, because 8 got ridiculous. Who was the most fatigued at the very end? Like, who had, like, nothing left? I know Aaron got the checkered flag, but crazy.
It's hard to say because even at the last lap where it was coming down to the wire, it was, like, all three of them, like, I could go to the last lap. No, I could go to the last lap. And
then ended up everyone wanted the glory. They should have just sent all of them up together.
But the day after, none of them were happy. Yeah. I think the day after when we were driving home, I ended up driving from Mesquite all the way to Denver before we finally switched off. And it was like, they were finally halfway, maybe got some rest to possibly be able to drive. It was crazy.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, I was hurting the next day and I made the mistake. Well, like on the Sunday, I didn't go skiing, but I went skiing on the Monday. And that was just torture. Like, I don't know how my legs did it. Like, I guess when you get a free day of skiing in Park City, Utah, you just do it, I suppose. But that was beyond my own personal capabilities. Last question I have for you guys here on the Verb Pod Network. James Lynch, JT Thompson here on the Verb Pod Network. Would you do it all over again?
Tomorrow.
Dude, if you had one this weekend, I'd leave right now.
I will drive 24 hours straight again. Any weekend.
No, I love it. No questions asked. And then actually, I lied. That was not the last question. This is my last question. Did both of you end up going to Supercross this last weekend? How was it?
Yeah.
I know JT, you went. Yeah, how was it? And yeah, give me the rundown of the Triple Crown. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. We ran into my boss, Brian Teach, while we were there, which I was honestly really surprised about. I was not expecting to see him.
First Form's into moto. People don't know this.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty neat. I mean, the amount of people we ran into at Mesquite that knew who we were was even crazier. But yeah, no, the Supercross Triple Crown, like, I mean, I always love watching Triple Crowns. It's always so cool. You never know what's going to happen. Three different starts. I think the coolest part of it all was Eli. Watching him ride like he used to be able to ride. And
yeah.
I think it's turning over a new leaf for him and just building more confidence in him since having that injury last year. And I mean, I'm sure you've had your fair share of injuries and stuff like that. And it's tough to come back from stuff like that. I mean, there's a big fear factor of, you know, am I going to get hurt again? Which, you know, James knows I broke through last week when I went over the bars on my mountain bike. So
there you go.
Yeah, you know, you just got to break through that, you know. Once that fear is out of the way, you know, who knows what it's going to unlock for him, you know.
It was huge.
So
yeah, no, I know when I came back from my shoulder injuries, I had shoulder surgery, and for the longest time, I basically rode around at, like, 70% because I didn't want to hit the ground, didn't want to get hurt. Then eventually, like, I did start to push it. I had a big one, but it came out okay. So we're looking good. And, yeah, like, St. Louis Supercross is, and they did a little special on it during the broadcast. I don't know if you guys watched, but it is a kind of a special location. Like, they don't go there all the time. But of course, that is the one place that Jeremy McGrath lost in 1996. Jeff Emig wins that race. Huge race for him. It's the site of both James Stewart and Ricky Carmichael's last Supercross win that they ever had in their careers. And it's also the place where Ken Roczen had his first win back in, I believe that was 2019 or 20, maybe 2020, when he finally got a win after hurting his arm, like, and multiple injuries that he had back in 2017. So yeah, it's a special race, and glad you guys were able to take it in.
It was dope.
Yeah, you know, it was pretty interesting watching, you know, the Red Cross flag incident, you know, in the second race, and then, you know, Bam Bam doing Bam Bam things. You know, God love the man, I do. Yeah. But you know, it is what it is.
That yeah, he went bowling and he got himself a strike. That was pretty wild. yeah, it's quite the event. Glad you guys were able to take it in. James, were you there?
Yeah, I was there. It was actually my first Supercross event, so that was really cool to experience. But kind of like JT said, it was awesome to see Eli come back in force like that. Not only just like win, but sweep. Like,
yeah.
He's like, I'm back, and we are here, and it was cool to watch all of that for sure.
We still got lots of racing left in the series, and of course, outdoors and SMX and everything else in between. James, JT, I appreciate you guys making some time for the podcast. This has been fun. We're going to throw this interview after the three of you, so or the three athletes on the team that competed in the 500. So they'll probably throw you guys under the bus every bit as much as you give those guys some digs. I appreciate you guys making time for us today.
Appreciate you, Brad.
Hey, we appreciate you too, Brad. Can't wait to see you guys again. I'm motivated. We're coming back in full force for that Gypsy 500 South.
With a pit bike.
With perfect. A pit bike.
Well, that and your boys racing in that one.
All right, perfect. So, well, thanks so much, guys. Don't hang up just yet. Podcast sake, we're going to cut things off right there.
Welcome to Best 42 in the land. All ages from kids up to grown men. Walk through the gates of the coal miner's daughter to make a point clearer than the creek water. Who's the best? Who's it gonna be? In Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wind spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Times. This 1 week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2 out at the ranch. Golf carts, pit bikes, and rowdy fans. Play the national anthem and everybody stands. Smell the smoke from the two strokes riding by. The 30-second card's on its side.
It's hard to get
it. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wheel spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Line on the field. If you can put it all together three times, this 1 week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows.